ければ。
The button has been pushed.
Commencing podcast now.
Nope.
Welcome to Pop Tech Jam, the independent audio magazine about consumer technology, pop culture, bugs, shrugs, and hugs. I'm J.D. Beersdorfer.
And I'm Pedro Rafael Rosado.
On this week's show, Pedro and I jam to the week's tech and pop culture news, and I have a hopefully helpful hint on how to find out just what's in that software security update that's bugging you to install it. But first, some news.
News. I love when you rhyme. Always makes me chuckle.
Really? This is my attempt at rap here. Yeah. No, yes. Sometimes, you know, you get enough topics in the news.
Absolutely.
That you can kind of get an overall umbrella term. And if they happen to rhyme, then it goes.
Better
know?
For us.
And we do have sort of related items about all those things.
We do.
Absolutely. So
we maximize the fun.
Yes.
That's what we do.
Yes.
I realize that. I listened to last week's episode. And you could tell we were having fun.
Yeah, I think we were probably really punchy about
the
end, too, because that always happens, too,
absolutely.
When the
that
sugar starts to wear off. But
yeah, absolutely. I got nothing to talk about. My binge watching is over with.
Well, we have some news items. Perhaps they will pique your interest here.
Wait, did you watch Batman? Batman v Superman?
No, I haven't. It got such negative fan reviews that I was like, you know, do I want to pay $15 to see this in a theater and have somebody talk through it anyway? Or do I want to wait for the download?
I got a message on Instagram from somebody asking me if I went to see it. And that's exactly what I said. I said, listen, people that I respect saw it opening weekend and were totally disappointed by it. I might just wait till the DVD rolls out.
A lot of the critics came out very hating on it, didn't
right.
like it, said it was horrible. The soundtrack sounded like a choir drowning in lava. You know, you can go on and on and on. And critics will have their opinions. Sometimes you get
right.
the feeling of a pileup, and maybe all the critics decided
right.
to dogpile this one. But then users went to see it, and some liked it. Some have Zack Snyder fandom, and they liked it. Some sort of saw it and said it was awful. And so this began to be this fan backlash of people saying, don't go. It's horrible. It assassinates Superman character. It's just not there. And then it had that 81% box office drop from the first weekend to the second week, which
huge
I think is
drop.
The telling number
oh, yeah.
here.
That
because
is a big tell.
If the movie is good, people will see it repeatedly.
Absolutely.
Case in point, Force Awakens, the Marvel movies. But this one, I think people were one and done. And we'll see how it does next week. I don't know what's opening against it, but... Unless it has some really strong competition, it could be number one again just because sometimes people also want to go for the train wreck factor.
Right. Exactly.
How bad was it?
How bad was it? I'm waiting for Amazon Prime. That's
yeah.
what I'm gonna, when it's on Amazon Prime or Netflix, that's what I'm
Yeah, you get a little stream, and then if the movie stinks, you can you know, leave it on in the background, do something else. So
that's right.
At least you're getting something done besides being annoyed.
That's right. So, I like that.
Yes. You have a plan.
I do have a plan.
Yes. Should we do some news?
I think we should.
Twitter went long and caught a deal to stream 10 NFL games globally this coming football season. The bird-themed microblogging service paid a reported $10 million with an M dollars, about that, for the rights to stream these Thursday night games for the cord-cutting population. But it's not an exclusive deal. Twitter did not back out the broadcasters or anything. The traditional networks, including NBC, CBS, and the NFL Network, will also be showing the same game. So it's basically like a simulcast deal where you can just watch it on different platforms.
Let me wrap my brain around this for a second. So I'm on Twitter.
Yeah.
I'm like going through my stream. NFL pops up. There's
yeah.
the game of the week. It's the Jets versus San
the Sharks.
Diego,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
Whatever. And then I can tweet while the game is going and I'm watching it.
Yeah, you can click for the stream. I believe part of Twitter's deal is for people who are watching this on devices where you can have multiple applications open.
Right.
You can watch the game. There'll be a tweet stream going on so people can comment and feel like they're part of the game if you can't sit on the couch with your buddies cheering your team because you're across the country.
So no second screen.
I think the second screen becomes your first screen,
right.
or maybe like the second screen, a little piece of that is your side.
Is
or
like,
maybe you got to pull out a third screen.
This is like time travel in Star Trek. It's going to make my brain hurt.
Really, it's like getting sort of M.C. Escher
yeah,
here, where
yeah.
you're just like going through. The...
Yeah, absolutely. That's actually kind of cool.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting to see what they're going to do with it. And the new Twitter NFL deal includes in-game highlights and pre-game Periscope broadcasts from players and teams. So they're really trying to boost the interactivity, get the fans closer to the players. Mm. Bloomberg reports that Twitter will probably package the games alongside the live feed of curated tweets, and other websites will be able to embed Twitter's live stream as well. So this could potentially increase the audience exponentially
wow.
because, you know, everyone watches it. And Twitter is said to beat out Verizon, Amazon, and that site that used to be called Yahoo for this NFL deal.
Yahoo!
Yes. who seems to be just selling itself left and right now.
Just totally like
as we mentioned last week. So
that could be very disruptive.
It could be the Jack Dorsey. You know, he's been getting sort of. People are making fun of him because Twitter's not growing. The growth has stalled out.
I've been dying to say this, but Jack Dorsey has like the greatest name. I always think of like a 50s band leader, a 40s band leader.
Yeah.
Right? Jack Dorsey.
Yeah, Jack Dorsey and the Swinging Horns.
Yes, exactly. That's awesome. Anyway, I'm sorry. I totally pushed you off the rails.
Oh, no, not at all. I can climb back on the rails very easily.
All right.
So he sees this as a way to really ignite the growth of Twitter. They're saying that not a lot of people have joined and the service is very popular and some people really enjoyed and it has become a curated news feed for a lot of the world, but they're not getting masses of new people to sign up. And so maybe if people sign up because they can watch 10 free NFL games somewhere else in the world or they don't have cable or a broadcast antenna and they want to watch football on a Thursday night, maybe this will bring them in.
What about the trolls?
Oh, I think the trolls will be there too. The trolls, wherever you go on Twitter, there's always a troll lurking.
There's always a troll.
So we'll see how they do a troll patrol, too.
Troll patrol. I love it.
But I think they had been doing some stuff with the NFL. Weren't they, like, sort of allowing highlights to be tweeted and whatnot? The NFL is very protective of its video and takedown notices left and right.
Yes.
And I think Twitter had some deal where they could do highlights, but now they can stream whole games. So
that's pretty awesome.
We'll see how it goes in coming season. Now, Amazon has the 8th generation of the Kindle waiting in the wings, but the news didn't come from the rumor blogs. Amazon founder and CEO Jeff Bezos teased the news himself over Twitter this week, saying that the all-new top-of-the-line Kindle is almost ready and that the details will come out next week. Amazon also looks to be taking a piece out of PayPal by extending the reach of its Amazon's payment service that lets you pay for purchases on other sites by using the credit card and mail-in information you have stored in your Amazon account. You've seen those little pay with Amazon buttons.
Yep.
I guess they are boosting that up. And the company has announced its Amazon Payments Partner Program will help e-commerce platform providers in several countries add that pay with Amazon option to their sites. So before you could pay with PayPal, maybe that was a hassle if you didn't have a PayPal account. A lot of people have Amazon's account. If they have this easy way where they can just tap into their financial information stored on Amazon to pay for whatever they're buying.
Right.
That could make Amazon very happy.
What do you call Amazon? The Uber?
The Uber Everything Megastore?
Yeah.
I call them a lot of things, but usually the Uber Everything Megastore.
Yeah. That's exactly what they are.
Yeah. They're everywhere.
Emphasize the mega.
Yes. They are deeply mega.
They're huge.
Yes. Yes. In that Trumpian way, they are huge. Now, just as the dust was starting to settle from that FBI Apple throwdown a couple of weeks ago, I think it was the lead of our news for like 3 episodes in a row because we could not get away from it.
Nope.
Another shot has been fired across the bow of the privacy wars as WhatsApp announced this week that it's turned on full end-to-end encryption.
Oh, snap!
Yes, they I think had been maybe rumored that they were going to do this, but they announced it on their blog, said we have turned this on for our billion with a B users.
That's right.
So that locks up all the communications between those people tight enough so that WhatsApp employees and government watchers can't peek.
No peeking.
Stepping it up there. Alphabet, the whimsically named parent company behind Google, is not endearing itself to some of its customers. Reports around the web say Nest, the smart home component of the Alphabet empire, is kicking a bunch of older devices off the bus and deliberately backing over them and breaking them. To get really extended with the metaphor there. The smart home devices in question were made by Revolve, spelled with no E.
Yeah.
And in case you lost track of the chain of events over the past few years, Revolve was bought by Nest, and then Nest was bought by Google, and then that became part of a larger company called Alphabet. So that's the DNA chain there.
We're back to the Star Trek time travel things.
Yeah, so the loops upon loops. Yeah. Revolve was still around as a private company, but they announced on their blog a few days ago that they were shutting down as of May 15th and their app and smart home hub would no longer work.
Oopsie.
So as you can imagine, customers using those devices and probably paid a few hundred dollars for them were not happy. And questions about consumer rights and the extent of ownership are now flying around. As you know, Google has a history of shutting down products people love.
Yes, I know.
Yes, you have bitter scars to show from that.
I do indeed.
And some people are wondering what hardware Google will choose to intentionally brick next and what happens if they decide, oh, we don't want to support this Android phone anymore. You know, what happens there?
Gone. So, history.
Yes. So we'll see if this becomes a precedent or if maybe three people used Revolve devices and their cries will not be loud enough to be heard.
See, but I never have to worry about that. because my home will not be smart.
Yes, you are keeping your home. Yes,
it will be forever stupid.
Yes, the offline appliances.
Yes, indeed, that's my house.
All right, so
my street.
Yeah, so you don't have to worry about any of that Internet of Things getting in your business.
IOT.
Yes, yes, none of that. Yeah. But speaking of Android, Google did just put out a pretty chunky over-the-air patch for the system as part of its April security bulletin. You know, they've been doing those ever since the stage fright scare of last year.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so if your Android phone or tablet is bugging you to update, that's what that's about. And if you're wondering what's in the update, stay tuned to later in the show where we'll tell you how to find out. But
nice.
It was a very, very lengthy list of things they were plugging up.
Well played. I like how you did that.
I like
that
to stitch things together.
Smooth.
But as we mentioned on the show last week, Apple has just issued a patch for iOS 9.3 that was intended to correct that little Safari links crashing thing.
Yeah, the pesky annoyance.
Yes, yes, boom, yes. However, an independent security researcher has posted a video and description of a bug he says is in the new 9.3.1 patch.
Every time you say independent security advisor, I always get scared.
Yeah, hacker. Yeah, no, this gentleman did some playing around with it, and in the video as shown, someone could get into a locked iPhone's contacts and photo album with a combination of Siri and the 3D touch function of the iPhone 6S and 6S Plus. Several sites have pointed out until a proper patch arrives from Apple, the quick fix for now is just to turn off Siri from using the phone's lock screen. But he's got this video where he sort of demonstrates that you could summon Siri and then kind of trick her into, or him if you're using the boy voice, into opening a couple of things, and then you could get into the phone that way. I don't know how realistic this would be in the wild, but it was proven that it could be done. So
when you summon Siri, like summoning Beelzebub?
Yes, you know, and she poofs, into the thing. Yeah.
Okay.
So
none of that is scary. None of it.
Mm-mm. But and it apparently just affects the 3D touch phone. So this is the latest iPhone 6S and 6 Plus since the SE did not have the 3D touch.
alphabet soup. I'm sorry.
Swirling in your bowl.
Yes, indeed. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
A lot of model names there.
You're really making my head hurt today. There's like going on.
Yeah, well, it's not like a big product announcement week. This is all sort of little bits of things happening, but all of these things kind of turn into bigger things as you go down the road.
Are you going to scare me now?
We do have the Federal Communications Commission
but they're
doing sort of positive things, as you know, with helping with the landline thing and net neutrality. The FCC is taking a cue from the FDA, that would be the Food and Drug Administration.
Again, with the alphabet soup.
I tell you, you just got to get a bag of crackers there and you're good to go.
Oyster crackers.
Yeah. Delicious. Just crumble them up. So you've got your soup, you've got your FCC, your FDA.
Right.
The FCC has come up with information labels for broadband and mobile service that look just like those black and white nutrition labels you see on your food. You know how you pick up a box of food and you want to see how many calories are in here?
This is an April Fool's joke.
No. It's on the government website.
Wow.
You know, when you pick up food, you see calories, sodium, all the things that are potentially shorten your life.
Right.
The FCC labels show hidden fees added to the base price of mobile service or broadband service, as well as information about data caps, overcharge charges, speed, latency, packet loss, and other information. Yeah.
Fiber.
I don't know if you get a fiber allowance there. Yeah. Maybe if you do with Google. You get all this information as you, a consumer, might want to know before you purchase this item. And they have designed it pretty much like the FDA's food labels. Mm-hmm. It shows you here's a speed and here's a... So you have these labels that in theory would be very helpful, but the agency is not really making them mandatory for the service providers, which is a little hitch in the plan. They're very beautiful, but who knows if anyone's going to use them. However, the FCC's current net neutrality rules do require ISPs be more transparent in their dealings with consumers, meaning don't hide stuff and don't lie.
Right.
So similar disclosures are now required, and the FCC has made these labels a sort of a way, like if you want to meet our requirements, you can use these labels and all the consumers can see what they're getting, which is what you have to do now anyway.
Right.
So, but they said that the companies can use their own labels. They just have to display all of the information that the FCC wants them to tell people. But I thought they were very nice little labels. We'll put a few pictures up on our show page.
All joking aside, this is pretty cool.
It would be nice to see, and by the way, here's this fee that you get this price for a year and then it goes up or whatever. You know how you have these rude surprises
absolutely.
Get your bills.
Yeah.
Or the, $37 in assorted federal and state taxes.
Carrier fees.
Yeah.
What the heck is that?
It's like, what carrier?
Yeah.
And what are they charging me for?
Right.
So we'll see if anybody jumps on these. Microsoft, we haven't talked about them in detail yet.
Yes,
their annual
Redmond.
Way out west. Their annual Build conference for developers was out in San Francisco last week.
Really?
And they do their thing. This is their version of I/O or WWDC. You know, every platform has its own feel good developers conference now.
Microsoft Bob is back.
No. Although the event did please developers in general, Microsoft announced that programmers could use the Ubuntu Linux Bash shell on Windows. And
really?
These Xamarin DevTools are now free. I think they used to be a few hundred dollars.
Yeah.
So they're giving the developers some love there. Presentations at the Build conference also highlighted intelligent AI apps, bots, Digital Ink, and this year's Windows 10 anniversary update, which features enhancements to Cortana and some other elements of Windows 10.
Anniversary update?
Yes, they're calling it the Windows 10 anniversary update.
What is it? It's been out a year already?
Yeah, well, in the summer it'll be a year, but but yeah, it sounds kind of like a cover band, you know, kind of getting together to celebrate the Eagles or something.
Yeah, basically.
The Windows 10 anniversary update.
There you go.
So that is some of the things they talked about. Not reported at the conference, however, was the trial run of Outlook Premium, which is supposed to be an ad-free, perked-up version of Outlook.com email. And they're going to charge about $4 a month, so you get no ads and you get better sharing tools and things. I think they're just testing it to see if people will pay $4 a month for email that does not annoy them with ads.
Okay, that's not going to make me go from Gmail.
Yeah, and because the Gmail ads, you don't see them unless you're using the website.
Right.
And I'm kind of immune to them at this point anyway. Like, even if I see an ad, like, whatever, I'm just looking for my schedule or whatever. I'll put a link on the show page. If people who are interested, I think they can sort of click through their existing Outlook accounts and maybe sign up for the trial. I don't know if that's still open or not, but
send me an invitation.
Yeah.
Oh, no, wait. I'm back on that whole time machine. I went back like 10 years.
Yeah,
do they
yeah.
do that anymore, like invitations?
I think they do, yeah. Well, Google is big with the invitations.
Yeah,
and the invitation
annoying.
To Gmail.
That's annoying.
You know, circa 2004.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, if you want one, I'll see if I can send you one.
Awesome. Thank you.
NASA is getting in on Microsoft's HoloLens augmented reality system. This actually kind of makes sense. The agency announced a new exhibit called Destination Mars that's scheduled to open this summer at NASA's Kennedy Space Center Visitor Complex down in Florida, the Sunshine State.
Makes me want to salute Destination Mars.
Destination Mars with jumpsuits and everything.
Yes.
Now, after strapping on the HoloLens goggles, guests will get a holographic tour of Mars from retired astronaut Buzz Aldrin and explore several sites on the red planet that were reconstructed using real imagery from NASA's Mars rover.
That's cool.
Yeah, a little curiosity has been going around there taking all those pictures.
That's very cool.
A lot of this data they have repurposed now into this holographic experience of Mars.
Nice. I'm digging that.
Yeah, so that'll be down at the Kennedy Space Center in Florida this summer.
Awesome.
You might like this one just because there's an element of schadenfreude involved.
All right.
As you know, we made it through another April Fool's Day with the customary wackiness ensuing.
Yes.
ThinkGeek had its usual roster of stellar fake products, including a Star Trek white noise machine.
Oh,
and
I love that one.
Quilted Northern went viral with a video about rustic weave artisanal toilet paper.
I saw that one.
Which I think a lot of people found humorous.
Yes.
But the epic fail award for 2016 goes to Google for slipping in an animation featuring one of those yellow Minions characters dropping a microphone. Just sort of drop the mic thing if you want to shut your respondents up. And fortunately, that got into many serious and professional messages sent by Gmail users, and they were not happy.
No.
Well, people were on, like, I'm sending legal contracts and notices and this thing because they're never clicking on it. It was going along, and so it perhaps... They did not really test the UX where they place this Minions button and just the thinking out the whole board here about if we put this button in the... Yeah, I mean, I'm sure there were some very serious situations that were disrupted by the attempt at a April Fool's prank. Google has apologized for that.
This is so beautiful. You made my week with this one.
Yeah,
that's
it was,
awesome.
And it was all over. Because usually Google does a fairly convincing one.
Yeah, they do,
and then,
yeah.
But yeah, this one, not so much.
Not so much.
Maybe we need to think harder next
Epic
year.
Epic fail, definitely.
Yes. Moving on, that Sony PlayStation 4 update we spoke about on a recently previous episode has arrived this week. That's the update that features the remote play function for Windows and Mac and other social features. So
yeah.
PlayStation 4 users, that'll be there for you. The Starz cable TV channel has joined the stream team. If you want to watch Outland or Black Sails or any other Starz content on your Android or iOS device without having to get a cable subscription, you can get it for $9 a month a la carte now. They have jumped in with HBO and Showtime, and I think they're cheaper than both of them. HBO is like $15, Showtime's like $11 or whatever. Starz is coming in at $9.
Hey, undercutting the competition.
Starz is not probably thought of as one of your more premium content channels.
Come on, let's be honest. They're the Bob's Mattresses.
Yeah, they bag of Cheetos there. Yeah, it's very
Bob-o-pedic. Come on.
Yeah.
Nobody else but East Coast folks know what I'm talking
about. Yeah, yeah. But the ones who do, yes, are, they're not in along. Yeah, well, it's got some niche shows that people like. I think the Black Sails pirate show is popular with genre people. Right. And Outlander, based on those books about the Scottish time traveler, is very, very popular with some people. That's in its second season. So maybe that was the thing that propelled them into going with the a la carte option.
Absolutely.
So for Stars fans, it's there for you if you want it.
Enjoy.
Yes. And finally, two items of note from the Department of Making Things Easier to Understand.
Okay.
First up, the MIT Media Lab has created a new site called Data USA, which tries to make public government data on a variety of subjects easier to view and mentally process. The site's tagline calls it the most comprehensive visualization of U.S. public data and backs up its claims with beautifully dynamic graphics showing things like median household income, gender gaps in wages, and top universities for computer science, among many, many other topics. So you click on there, you can just sort of go through. And I was kind of on there for an hour just sort of clicking around, seeing all of this statistics and things that the government tracks. Somebody has kind of done data visualizations for all of them. So if you want to see a chart that shows median age in the county you grew up in, you just click, 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 and there it is.
That's cool. I like that. And with the name Data USA, you could have a snappy, like, slogan. Like,
yeah.
You know, jingle.
Yeah.
Data USA.
Yes. So that was from the MIT Media Lab folks. And if you have time, it's free to stroll around. We'll link to it. And secondly, Facebook announced this week it was using artificial intelligence software to create automatic alternative text that describes the contents of photos for blind and visually impaired users who are using screen reader software on their iOS devices. If someone posts a picture and someone who has low vision or no vision is using screen reader software where it kind of describes what's on screen, this AI will now attempt to describe what's in the contents of a photo that may have been posted for someone who can't see it.
That actually disturbs me a little bit.
Really?
I don't know why.
Really?
It kind of unsettled me a little bit. It didn't really freak me out.
Yeah.
But it kind of like...
Facebook's AI kind of describing...
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, say you have vision problems and you're using Facebook because the screen reader software will tell you what people post and you can keep up through audio cues with stuff. And so someone has posted a photo of a puppy.
Right. Yeah, but memes will not get translated.
Yeah, I think memes might be a little too nuanced for this, but it's Facebook making a step to help people with accessibility issues. And the auto-alt text is rolling out in English for iOS users first, but more languages and platforms are expected soon. So maybe you can try it on Android and see if it still scares you.
Yeah, okay. I'm going to...
But I kind of see this as a good thing.
It is a good thing,
The technology can be such a great leveler and anything that helps people kind of be on the level playing field.
Yeah, but until it gets sentient and then kills me in my
sleep. Yeah, it's here's a picture of a tank.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So
this is what's going to happen.
And now, happy thoughts.
Happy thoughts.
Think of puppies.
All right.
And My Little Pony and all your favorite things.
Rainbow Dash.
There you go. So for anyone out there who wants to know more about all the things we talked about in the news, you can find them all at...
Data US... Oh, no, I'm sorry. PopTechJam.com.
Oh, now you're getting a call from MIT. Maybe you'll get a commission.
There you go. JD.
Yes.
What's going on?
I was thinking we might have a hopefully helpful hint.
Nice. We haven't had one of those in a couple weeks.
We alluded to this in the news segment a little bit.
Yes, we did.
Have you gotten used to the fact that there are now monthly patches on Nexus Android devices now, just like we have Patch Tuesday on Microsoft?
I actually have gotten used to it.
Yeah, you see the little color. You know, there's a security update.
Yep.
It took me a while to realize, oh, this is actually a monthly thing, because I would see them thinking, and I didn't really notice the pattern of how frequent they were coming, and then did some reading. Oh, yes, this is all in reaction to the stage fright bug, which was a huge gaping hole that affected millions and billions of Android devices.
Oh, yeah.
Google announced that for its Nexus hardware, it was going to start doing over-the-air patches to try to close up these things. They were going to be very proactive about it. People who had Android devices from other carriers would kind of have to talk to those people. Mm-hmm. But I think Samsung said it was also going to step up and just try to keep systems more secure because there is so much potential for mischief with the malware and whatnot.
Well played, Samsung.
Yes. So, and I think a few others have jumped on. You know, and as we know, software patches and security updates are meant to fix problems in software, but sometimes they can create more problems.
Oh, yes.
Take, you know, the aforementioned 9.3.1 patch. that we talked about in the news section, or Google's patch last year that was supposed to repair stage fright the first time around, right. And then they kind of missed and had to do a few more.
Oopsie.
So many people will just get an update notice and install whatever software arrives with those notifications, mm-hmm. or if they have, you know, the automatic updates turned on, you pay even less attention because the system just does it for you.
Yeah. No muss, no fuss.
Yeah, for most people, that's fine. But if you're the type that wants to know what's going on in your hardware and decide for yourself if it's safe to install, or maybe you're worried it's going to conflict with something else on your machine, you can hit up the support area of your manufacturer's website for detailed notes. It may just look like, oh, here's this package and I install it. Usually there's a README with it, or if you go back out to the site from Apple or Microsoft or whatever, they have a very lengthy description about every little thing that they're trying to fix with the software.
Yep.
So for people out there who want to know where to go for some of the major players, we will have a list on the show page, but I'll just mention a few of them here so you can get an idea. The Adobe Security Bulletins and Advisory page. As you know, Adobe Flash Player and Adobe Reader are two of the most kind of hacker-targeted pieces of software out there.
They really are.
And I think they update hourly sometimes. So security updates to sew up those holes are issued regularly by Adobe. You can find your Adobe product on the list and click through details of all the links and, you know, for information about the whatever update is there. And Adobe does a ton of other software too, so they're always patching something. And this Adobe Security Bulletins and Advisory page covers all their products. So if you're a Creative Cloud user or just deep into the Adobe ecosystem, check that out if you're curious. The Android Open Source Project is where Google goes to post all of those Nexus security bulletins that we spoke about previously.
Yeah.
Now, it's kind of the developer's den for the Android mobile operating system and has a section devoted purely to security where you can actually file bug reports if you find them yourself. Mm. And it's also got bulletins describing the content of every monthly update Google issues for its Nexus hardware. If you don't use Nexus hardware, again, check with your own device maker. Mm-hmm. Apple security updates. Like Adobe, Apple has a ton of its own software. It's also got a ton of its own hardware. They have stuff for OS X, iOS, tvOS, watchOS, and all the in-house applications they make. And you can see links to everything that's getting updated or has been recently updated on this Apple Security Updates page. Links on the site can also take you to the downloads and supporting documentation in case you didn't let your Mac update the software automatically or your iOS
device.
That's
useful. That's very useful. I like that.
Yeah, some people do like to still manually install the patches, so you can find those there. And that's all on Apple's site. The Microsoft Security Tech Center, thanks to decades of Windows, the Redmond giant is an old pro at the security update game and celebrates with new releases on Patch Tuesday, also known as the second Tuesday of every month.
Right.
All the latest security bulletins are posted there, so you can read up about what's getting fixed this time.
Mm-hmm.
And the site is a little techie, and if that sort of scares you because they're talking about frameworks and things, Microsoft also has a safety and security center on the site for the less technical users at home who maybe just want to know a little bit about what this thing is supposed to be fixing and some general tips for security and safety.
For derps like me.
No, you are far from derp, sir.
Oh,
and, you know, just, you know, people who don't, you know, they got other things to do besides read EULAs and dig deep in the tech.
Yep.
Additionally, Amazon's site has a device support page for its various Kindle Echo and Fire hardware, along with information about important software updates. We talked about that one for Kindles that you need to have to be able to do wireless downloads.
I haven't done that one yet, by the way.
You'll be doing the old USB method.
I am going to do that.
I will send you the link to their software page here.
Please do.
And in most cases, software patches that are issued quickly are designed to plug big security holes that can hamper your life, so it's okay to install them right away usually.
Mm-hmm.
But if you want to know what's going on, just check with your friendly neighborhood security bulletins page.
And most importantly, these patches don't always break your system. It's very rare that something like that happens. So,
yeah, and if you're worried about stuff too, if you wait a day, especially with iOS stuff,
mm-hmm.
the early adopters are really good at finding problems with it, like this thing with the security hole in 9.3.1. So if you're worried about it all, or if it's a big Mac OS X update and you're afraid that it's going to mess up something, just wait a week. If it's not like a critical security thing, wait a little bit, see what the Mac theme blogs say. Mm-hmm. Just make sure that nobody's having any problems.
I would have done that with El Capitan.
Yes, my USB ports no longer work.
Exactly.
That's a problem.
That
is a problem. But again, we will have links to all of the particular pages I mentioned here on our show page at
poptechjam.com.
Very nice. Very secure.
We got to go.
We do.
We should thank the bros.
We should thank the bros. We thank the bros all the time because they do so much for us.
But they deserve it. Thank you, bros.
Yes, they do. Yes, thank you very much, bros. Thank you to the listeners out there.
Absolutely. Especially to the listeners. They keep coming back and finding us. I've said this 100 times. I love when people say, oh my gosh, I just found your show again. I hadn't heard you since you used to be at that major media conglomerate.
Yes, that Penny Saver, yes. Yeah.
Wow.
So,
I kid. We kid because we love
it. It's great to have the listeners back on board and welcome to any new people who found us.
Yes, indeed.
And you can find us all over the web. We're on Twitter. We're on the Facebook.
Everywhere.
El Kaiser here has us on pretty much every podcasting site out there.
I'm like flooding the zone.
Yeah, totally. And, you know, and I gently moisten the zone, you know, with my occasional tweets. But until next week, when we're back with more, and possibly Laura Holson, who couldn't be here this week because she had a thing.
She's a busy woman.
She is. I'm J.D. Beersdorfer.
And I'm Pedro Rafael Rosado.
All right, let's go put some security patches on.
Yes. I needed something caffeinated. It was like one of these deals where I was really jonesing a Coke. And I actually slipped a couple of times this week. But in my defense, it wasn't a Diet Coke. I had a regular Coke.
Whoa. Did you like peel yourself off the ceiling from all the high fructose corn syrup?
I seriously did.